Sorry, Larry. I just want us to look at one verse here in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, because it has four principles here that we see throughout the Word of God, especially in the New Testament. And I want us to look at them just for a few minutes this afternoon. These four principles. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and look in verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Now, here they are. Hear, learn, keep, and do. I want us to look at those just for a few minutes, because you'll see these all through the Scriptures, and especially as it regards our salvation and the gospel. First one, let's consider this. Hear. Hear. You know, that's what we're about here, isn't it, tonight? That's what we're doing here tonight. That's why I've opened up the Bible and say, hear. Hear, and your souls shall live. The first thing, first and foremost, the thing that precedes salvation, the thing that precedes eternal life, is hearing. That's why we insist on being in order in our services. This is why we insist on quietness and not so much, you know, racket and running and moving, because we know the necessity of hearing. Hear, and your soul shall live. Why do we put such emphasis on hearing? I'm going to quote a verse of Scripture, and you could quote it, and some of you may already be thinking about it. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I wish that we wouldn't limit Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Though it seems to be limited there to human instruments, we hear it through a preacher. We know that's so. But I wish we wouldn't limit faith to just hearing from a preacher or a teacher. You know, faith can come by reading the Bible. You remember the Bereans, when the Apostle Paul had preached to them, and they went home and got their Bibles out, and they studied the Scriptures. They read the Scriptures. They heard what the Scripture said. And the Bible says, therefore, many of them believed. They searched the Scripture. So faith comes by reading the Scriptures, doesn't it? We know the primary way that faith comes to lost people, and I really don't know from the Scriptures how somebody could be saved without hearing. But you know, the Scriptures are preachers. The Scriptures do preach to us. I told you a few weeks ago about the man who was in the motel room, hadn't even thought of salvation. And he picked his Bible up and began to read. And the Lord spoke to him in His Word. He heard the Word and believed. He was amazed by it. So hearing is not always just hearing with these ears. It's always hearing with the heart. We may hear with these ears and never reach the heart. But it's when the heart hears. Hear with your heart. Hear with our inward man. I want you to look over here in Ephesians. Hold Deuteronomy. And look in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, the Lord Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, didn't he? My sheep hear my voice. I have other sheep that I've not brought yet. I've not saved them yet. They're mine. The Father's given them to me. But they shall hear my voice. Now, we know that none of us hear that audible voice. The Savior is in heaven, and we don't hear His audible voice in our ears. That's not the way we hear Him. We hear Him through His Word, don't we? He gave us this Word. The Holy Spirit gave us this Word. The Lord Jesus Christ came and preached. We've got that recorded. And He's saying no more than what He has said in His Word. He's still speaking through His Word. And when the Word comes to us, that's His voice. He speaks through His Word. We hear Him through His Word. My sheep hear My voice. Look here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul was speaking here and says in verse 17, chapter 4 of Ephesians, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the sinfulness, the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness, the blindness of their heart." Now, man is ignorant, isn't he? He don't know the way of salvation. He thinks he does, but he doesn't, you see. He's ignorant and his heart is blind. There's but one person that can teach him the way of salvation and save him. He must hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said in verse 19. "These are past feeling. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." Look in verse 21 now. This is amazing. "If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." My sheep hear My voice. You have heard His voice. But it's not an audible voice. It's His Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I tell you, it's amazing how you can take this book right here. This is amazing. I can read it to somebody and read it to somebody and it's as dead as it can be. I can take this and stick it in the fire and do no harm. Do no harm. It's just dead words on these pages until Jesus Christ takes these words and speaks to your heart. That's what He does. Haven't you had this to happen to you? The Word comes to you with power and assurance. You hear His voice. You don't never have to doubt if you've heard the voice of Christ or not, if you've heard His Word. Because that's where He speaks to us from. The Word. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. And that's where we hear His voice. Hear. 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 It's so important, isn't it? It's so important. Hear. Look in another passage. Look in James chapter 1. And look in verse 18. James chapter 1. And look in verse 18 and verse 19. James chapter 1 and look in verse 18. "Of His own will begot He us." He has begotten us. He has saved us. He regenerated us. "With the Word of truth." That's the gospel. That's His Word. "That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature." Now we've had that to happen. We have had people to hear and be saved. God has sent His Word to their hearts and given them life with it and given them assurance with it. "Therefore, what should we all do?" What should everybody do? Look in verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." I tell you how you can tell if the Lord has given you an interest in His salvation. I tell you how you can tell. Your mouth is stopped. You've quit arguing. You've quit fussing. You've quit telling everybody else what you know. And what you've said in your heart, "Oh Lord, speak to me. I need to hear something. I need to hear Your voice. Please teach me. Speak to me." I tell you, you're in good shape if that's where you're at. Let every man be swift to hear. Why? Because of his will, his own will, begot he us with a word of truth. Look in another place. Look in 1 Peter. Right on to your right. 1 Peter chapter, look in chapter 1, but especially verse 2. I tell you, hearing. Not only are we saved by hearing. And I love Galatians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians, and they fell back into this works of the law. And Paul said, I want to ask you one question. And it's about how you were saved. And how you received the Spirit of adoption. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? Is it what you were doing? Is it by circumcision? Is it by keeping the Sabbath day holy? How did you receive the Spirit of adoption? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's amazing, ain't it? Peter went down and preached to the Gentiles, and he preached unto them that through Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of sins. And they that heard the word, they heard it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Sharing is so important, isn't it? Share and your soul shall live. And Peter mentions that here in verse 23 of chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Look how he says it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born of the word. I tell people all the time, you're lost. If you're lost, get His Word out and get off by yourself and ask Him to open your heart that you may know Him. That's what I do. That's what I do. And look in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Look at this. Not only does He begot us through hearing of His Word, but I tell you, we grow through hearing His Word. Faith comes by hearing His Word. And faith is increased and strengthened by hearing His Word. Look what He says in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Hear. So it's not, I appreciate you coming here and hearing me. Man, if you didn't, we'd stay at the house if you didn't come here and listen. You know, if nobody wants to come and listen. But don't limit your hearing to the preachers and the teachers. Hear the Word. Read the Word. Hear it. Life comes through the Word. The strength of that life and the increase of graces come through this Word. The Word of truth. The Word of truth. And with all due respect to the poor Pope, I don't care how infallible he professes to be when he sits in his chair and writes. I don't care what Baptists have written now and past days. With all due respect, we've got one thing that we're to hear. It's not men's opinions, it's not men's convictions, but it's the Word. It's the Word. Hear my Word, the Word of truth. That's the only thing that's dependable, isn't it? Only thing that's dependable. Here's what the Lord Jesus said to him in His day. He said, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. Hear. Secondly, if you don't want to turn back over there, I'll tell you what they said in chapter 5, verse 1. The second principle is this. Learn. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them. Learn them. That you may learn them. Don't hear them that you may feel good. Don't hear them that you may experience some comfort and joy or peace or any other emotion. But hear the word that you may increase in knowledge, in heart knowledge, that you may learn as you hear. Peter said, grow in grace and knowledge. How do we grow in knowledge? By hearing, don't we? And learning. And learning. I went to school for 12 years. And I'm telling you, I didn't learn a thing. I honestly didn't. My wife tells me all the time, how did you ever get through school? I would sit in class and listen to the teacher. But my mind was riding a horse. My mind was swimming. My mind was fishing. And you know, I didn't learn a thing. I didn't learn a thing. Hear His Word and learn. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this very, very familiar Scripture. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Learn of Me. We know so little about Him. The best of us know so little about Him. Hear Him from His Word and learn of Him. Learn about His glorious person. He's God and man. Learn about what He's did, His work, how effectual it is, how wonderful it is, how mysterious it is. Learn of where He's at now. Learn what He's doing there. Learn of His promises. Learn of Him. And let's read that this way just for one time. Instead of saying, learn of Him, learn by Him. You see, here's what we think sometimes. I'm just a common person. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I don't have commentators. I don't have commentaries. So how can I learn? Well, He'll teach you. If we learn of Him, we must learn from Him or by Him. He can teach us. I'll give you My Spirit, He said. And what does My Spirit do? He will guide you. He will teach you. That's what He does. You may be here tonight and you don't have any education either. But I'm telling you what, you have a teacher. And He's able to teach you. Let me show you a couple of places in the Proverbs. Look here in a couple of places, Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 9. If there was one thing, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you and our children, our smallest children that's here tonight, would be to open your Bibles and ask the Lord to teach you. Learn of Him. Look at what He says in Proverbs chapter 1. And look in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gate. In the city she uttereth her voice, and this is what she's saying, and this is who she's speaking to. How long, ye simple ones? And that word means naive. We know what that means, don't we? We know what, when we say, boy, you're so naive. You're simple. You're simple-minded. You don't understand. You don't have any knowledge. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Foolishness. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now look in verse 23. Here's what wisdom says to us who are so naive and foolish we don't understand. Turn you at My reproof. I will pour out My Spirit unto you and will make known My words unto you. Now that's a promise. That's a promise. We can learn. We can hear and we can learn. Look in chapter 9 and look in verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. Everything's ready. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Learn of me. Learn of my salvation. Learn my ways. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Some of the most helpful people have been those people, just like us, that were just common people, just simple people. But I'm telling you, they begin to read the Holy Bible, they begin to read the Word of God, and the Lord taught them. You read in the days when the Catholics were denying people, the common people, the Bible, you had some of those common people that would get a hold of the Bible, and the Lord would open their hearts and teach them, and those Catholic, those bishops and those people, their theologians would call those common people up to those trials and try to confuse them. And I'm telling you what, those common people would turn those theologians upside down. That's how the Lord had established those people in the faith. And He's able to do you and I the very same way. Hear and learn. Hear and learn. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to go through life tossed about with every wind of doctrine confused. I don't want to come to my deathbed, lay my pillow on my deathbed confused about where I'm going, who I'm trusting in. I want to know, don't you? And we have these promises. Turn in here. I'll teach you. Learn of me. Learn from me. Thirdly is this. Hear, learn, and says thirdly, and keep them. And keep them. Keep them. When we want to keep some fruit, we dry it, don't we? Or we can it. We want to keep some beans, we preserve it. That's what this word keep means. I looked up the definition. It means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to preserve, to retain, to hold fast, to not let slip. And in the New Testament, it primarily has to do with the memory. Keep these things in your memory. Get the gospel in your heart. Hear it. Learn it. And keep it. Don't let it slip. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he retains them, he it is that loveth me. If a man love me, he will keep my words. You know what jogs the memory? It's love, isn't it? If you love something, you know what you do? You retain it. You'll keep an eye on it, won't you? You'll preserve it. You'll hedge it about. You'll keep it. This do in remembrance of me. Why does the Lord give us this communion, the bread and the wine? Remember. Remember what? My broken body. Remember my blood poured out. Remember He loved you and gave Himself for you. Keep this in your memory. Paul applies this to the gospel, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 15, listen to this. This is a very familiar passage. Listen to this. I declare unto you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. We don't want to just talk about hearing and about learning. We want to talk also about remembering. Keeping the gospel. If a man leaves the gospel, if he can lower the hedge and allow falsehood and lies to come in and take the gospel from his memory, then he's believed in vain. He's believed in vain. When we have heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit has taught us the gospel, we'll keep the gospel. We'll keep the gospel. There's two things that secure the gospel to our hearts. There's two means that secure the gospel to our hearts. One is reverence. One is fear. I tell you, if it scares me to death when I think about losing the gospel. I tell you, Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. And he finally said, I stand in doubt of you. And here's why he said, I stand in doubt of you. You talk about hearing the gospel and learning the gospel, but did you love it? How did you leave it if you loved it? How did you turn it loose if you loved it? Two things that secure this to our hearts, the keeping of something. I'll put my fear in your heart. And you'll not depart from me, and I'll not depart from you. That keeps the truth in our hearts, doesn't it? I'm afraid to lose it. And the second thing is love. Love. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So it's not just hearing. It's not just learning. But boy, when you've got it, you keep it. You love it in your heart. Some of you have went through a lot. Some of you here went through a lot. You went through some trials. You went through some struggles in your families, on your workplace, and other places. Your family has turned on you. Your family talks about you. Some of them says you're nothing but in a cult. Why have you cleaved to this blessed gospel? Because you love it, don't you? You love it more than you love your mother, or your father, or your brother, or your sister. And you're not going to let it go. You're going to keep it. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. We can't retain everything that we read, and we can't retain everything that we learn. We can't. We let things slip, don't we? But I tell you, there's three things that you'll never forget if you ever learn. You'll never forget this. God is God. Nobody will change your mind on that. And by that, I mean everything that it sounds like I mean. God is God. In every sense of the word. Number two, you'll never forget this. That Jesus Christ is your only Redeemer. He's your only Savior. There is none other. If He doesn't save you, you'll be lost forever. You've taken all your eggs and put them in this one basket. You'll never forget that. You'll never forget that. And thirdly, you'll never forget you're a sinner. Nobody will ever tell you anything else and convince you that you're anything but a sinner. And if anything, you grow worse in your own eyes as you get older. You are a sinner. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I may teach you that, and you'll go off and deny and forget it. But if God ever teaches you you're a sinner, you'll never get over it. You'll never get over it. Keep in memory. And lastly, and he said this, and this is the last principle, and we'll close with this. And do them. Hear and learn and keep. And now he says, and do them. Look here in James. James chapter 1. Here's the way James says it. James chapter 1, and look in verse 21. He made this statement there that I quoted to you a minute ago. Lay apart all filthiness. Verse 21, James 1. All filthiness. All abundance. superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man, any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty. Now, what is that? What is that? Now, anybody could read the perfect law of liberty and say that's the Ten Commandments. I don't know. Have you ever found the perfect law of liberty by looking to the Ten Commandments? I tell you, I found a lot of sin in myself by looking at those laws. And that's fine. That's fine. Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. If the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. What is this law of liberty? It's the gospel. Stand fast in the gospel and continue therein. You're saved by the gospel. You stand in the gospel. You walk in the gospel. And you be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man is blessed in his deeds. You know, it's not enough for me to hear that a man is justified by faith in Christ. It's not enough for me to just learn that as a doctrine. It's not enough until I do it. It's not enough for me to hear and learn, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's never enough until I do it. I can stand and hear how straight the gate is, how I must get through it. I can come to the knowledge of that. But it's never enough until I enter that gate. Doing it. A man must repent. It's not enough to hear of it. It's not enough to say, I believe he must. He must do it. He must do it. It's not enough to hear. I must follow Christ wherever he leads me. It's not enough to know that. I can go to every disciple class in the world, but it's not enough until I take up my cross and follow Him. Be ye doers and not hearers only. Man told me we have to love one another. We have to love one another. Well, we do. But saying it and doing it is two different things, ain't it? Never enough just to hear it. It's never enough just to learn it. But we do it. We do it. Look here in 1 John chapter 3 and we'll close with this passage. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and he sees his brother have need, he sees it, he knows it, it's so evident. And yet he shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall persuade, assure our hearts before Him. Where do we get assurance from? How is our hearts filled with assurance? By doing. By doing. I tell you, if we just hear and if we just learn and we never practice it, we never do it, We ain't going to have any assurance. Because you know what the Bible says? It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do. If God is working in us, we'll not only hear and we'll learn, but we'll do. We will believe. We will repent. We will love. We will help. We'll do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth. He that doeth. Aren't you glad, brothers and sisters, that somebody is working in you to will and to do? Every one of these principles, every one of them, has nothing to do with the flesh. Every one of these things are given to us by the Lord Himself. And He works in us all four of these principles. Hearing, the hearing ear, and the seeing eye. The Lord has made both of them. Keeping them, how do we keep anything? That which was committed to your trust, keep by the Holy Ghost, which worketh in us. Learn. How do we learn anything? They shall all be taught of God. Do. Do. This is the work of God that you believe. This is God's work. Ain't these amazing? Hearing, learning, retaining it, and doing it. Work of God. A work of grace. And while we do it, we don't take a bit of glory to it. For to Thee, O Lord, to Your name be glory for Thy mercy and Thy truth.